here about Joshua's trumpet and David's sling, but we seldom hear about Caleb's spirit. Hallelujah. You know, our story starts with the Israelites at the border of Canaan. They'd travel and they'd finally reach Canaan. And Moses was told by God to pick out 12 men to send to the land of Canaan. One from every tribe. And Numbers 13 and 2 tells us, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And out of all the tribes, the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, was sent. Hallelujah. You know, the thing that I thought was interesting about Caleb, he wasn't even Jewish. Yet he was a prince in the tribe of Judah. He was actually a Kenizzite, and the Kenizzites were from the land of Midian, which is where Moses' father-in-law was from. He was a priest of Midian. And they were a nomadic clan, and they were metal workers and smiths. But there seemed to be a group of them that joined up with the tribe of Judah. Now, there's a lot of other men that I'm sure that could have been chosen to go to Canaan. But Caleb was chosen. He was the one that was chosen, and he was chosen for a reason. He was chosen because Moses knew who he was. And here's an interesting thing for you. He was actually married to Miriam. He was married to Miriam, the sister of Moses. And the Jewish Encyclopedia, sometimes I go into different things looking for more information. Sometimes, you know, the Bible is a great and wonderful source of information for us, but sometimes we need to look a little deeper. So I went into a book called the Jewish Encyclopedia that was published in 1904. And it said that Caleb was called Asher because his face had become black from so much fasting and praying. Hallelujah. He was a man who loved God with everything that he had. He fasted and prayed so much, and I'm sure he did it outside. That's why his face turned black, because he was out in the sun all the time fasting and praying. And what made Caleb different? What brought him to God's attention? What made Caleb so different that God would look at a man that was not even chosen to be one of the chosen ones? That was just a man, a Kenizzite, who was basically grafted in to the tribe of Judah. What would make God look at him and motivate Moses to choose him to go into the land of Canaan? Because he had a different spirit. Numbers 14 and 24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." God saw something in Caleb that was different than everybody else. He saw a lot of people practicing religion. He saw a lot of people following a law. He saw a lot of people doing what they thought they were supposed to do. But in Caleb, he saw something different. He saw a different spirit. He saw a spirit that fully followed him. A spirit that said, I'm going to follow the Lord. I've been following the Lord all my life. I'm not just some guy that's out here praising the Lord because it looks good. It makes me feel good. No, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praying. I'm fasting because I love the Lord. There's nothing more than a spirit that God loves more than a spirit of obedience. God loves that. Listen to 1 Samuel 15 and 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear or hearken than the fat of lambs. God wants you to obey him. That's more important, that we obey the word of God than whatever else we do. It is the most important thing, because if we obey the word of God, we do what the Bible tells us to do. We don't go following our own path. We don't go following somebody else's path. We follow the path of Jesus Christ. You know, Caleb had a spirit of being truthful and not giving to vain imaginations and exaggerations. God says that. He says in Proverbs 6 and 18, what does he hate? A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. The other 10 spies were reporting on the land, and their report was full of exaggerations that would create fear in the people and convince them to not cross over into the promised land. Let me tell you right now, there are thousands of people, there are millions of people that are going to try to keep you from crossing over into your promised land. They're going to tell you every story. They're going to lie to you. They're going to exaggerate. They're going to make up stories to keep you from getting your promise. Why do they do it? I haven't got the faintest clue. I do not have the faintest clue. Maybe they do it because they don't think they're going to be able to get it. Maybe they do it just out of wickedness. I don't know. But they're out there to steal it from you, to take your promised land away from you. They say, well, if I can't go, you ain't going either. Hallelujah. So they make up these stories. Oh, talking in tongues, that's demonic. The Holy Ghost, that doesn't even happen anymore. You're just psychologically deranged. Oh, baptism in Jesus' name. You don't need such to be baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't need to repent. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Numbers 13 and 32 says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it. It's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. All of a sudden, they go into this land. Everybody's this huge giant eating everybody up. Everybody, all the Israelites were little tiny people that looked like grasshoppers. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, now we're a bunch of grasshoppers. We were, 2 weeks ago, we were victorious. We defeated Pharaoh. We left Egypt. We did all of these things. We came through the desert, and now we're nothing. We're nobodies. We're just a little tiny grasshopper that's just hiding out there, barely making it. But you know what? Caleb, he knew how good the land was. He knew how good that land was, and he knew that it wasn't full of giants, and that the people weren't be eaten up, and that the people weren't grasshoppers. Excuse me, there might be a giant around the corner. There might be some giants in your life, hallelujah, but you're not a grasshopper. Because guess what? You can defeat them. You got God on your side. You know, they didn't even want to bring back any of the fruit back. They did not want to bring back any of the fruit, the other 10 spies, because they said, oh, if we bring that fruit back, then everybody will want to cross. I don't know why. These 10 men did not, these were 10 leaders. These were 10 religious men. These were 10 men that followed the law. I do not know why it was their desire not to cross into Canaan. I don't know if it's because they liked things better in Egypt. They liked things better where they were. They were afraid of something. I'm not sure what their reason was, but they did not want the people to reach the promised land. I'm going to tell you something. There are some religious people out there that really are not interested in whether you reach the promised land or not. There's some religious people out there that have one thing that they're interested in, and that's solely themselves. Hallelujah. And if they figure you're going to rock the boat, then they don't want anything to do with you. They want to make sure that you're held back, that you're kept back. Hallelujah. That, you know what? You know, there's a lot of these guys, these TV preachers, and a lot of these so-called big revival preachers and stuff, hallelujah, a lot of them are not interested in you reaching the promised land. You know what they're interested in? And I hate to say this, they're interested in your money. That's what they're interested in your adulation, your admiration, and your money. They're not interested in you. But you know what? Caleb was different. He said, these are my people. I'm interested in them because God's got a promise for them. Caleb, in the Jewish encyclopedia, I read where Caleb was the one that insisted that the spies should take some of the fruits of the country with them in order to convince the people of the extraordinary fertility of the land. In fact, when they didn't want to do this, they said, no, we don't want to take anything. We're not going to carry that stuff. Hallelujah. Because it says in Numbers 13 and 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from then. You know, that must have been a big cluster of grapes. I mean, we're used to going to the store and we see a cluster of grapes. It might be as big as your fist. But just imagine how that you would be impressed if it took two men to bring a cluster of grapes out to show you how fertile the land was. But they said, no, we don't want to do it. And then Caleb drew his sword and said, if you will not take any fruit with you, then either my life or yours. Hallelujah. Caleb said, I want the people to see what is in the land that they have been promised. I want them to have a glimpse of that promised land. Hallelujah. You know what? When you get the Holy Ghost, you're getting a glimpse of the promised land. You're just getting a taste. It's such a small, tiny taste of it. We don't even have any idea how it's going to be. The way I look at it, if that's just a taste, I want a whole feast. Hallelujah. You know, Caleb was a peacemaker, and he had a positive attitude. A positive attitude. You know, a positive attitude will get you through so many things in life. Hallelujah. And you know what he said? This is what Caleb said. Numbers 13 and 30, they were all talking against Moses. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb said, hey, look, we can take it. We can do it. We can get it. We know what? Let's just go up and do it. We're able to do it. We've got God on our side. What are we sitting here crying about? What are we sitting here murmuring and whining about? Let's go and take that land. There's 600,000 of us. 600,000. We can take the land easily. Very easily. And that Caleb spirit, you know, this man had some spirit, is one of encouragement and confidence in the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Numbers 14 and 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. 14 and 3 says, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And 6 says, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And Numbers 8:14, he said, the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. 14:9 says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is parted for them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Hallelujah. You know what he said? Don't worry about them. They're not going to eat us. We're going to eat them. They're our bread. We're going to have them for breakfast. Don't you worry about it, because the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. And the Lord loves us and he delights in us. Hallelujah. He's going to be with us and we're going to be able to take this land. What are you afraid of? What are we afraid of? There should be nothing, nothing that we should fear. Because the Lord is with us, each and every one of us. I don't care what situation you are facing in your life today. I don't care how bad it seems. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how it looks like they're going to just eat you up. Remember, you have the Lord beside you. He is with you. And he says, guess what? We're going to turn the tables and you're going to eat them up. They're your bread. Whoa. And he's going to give us a promise. He's going to give us a land that flows with milk and honey. I want my milk and honey. I'm going to take my promise. That's what Caleb says. Hey, let's go get it. Let's go get it. There's all these good things. Come on, men. Quit whining. Quit complaining. So, Caleb had another spirit about him. He supported his pastor. He supported his leader. Moses was the pastor of his flock. He supported Moses. He said, look, he says, I don't care. I'm supporting him. He's my pastor. He's my spiritual leader. And you know what? You might think he's wrong. You might be against him. But guess what? I don't care if everybody's against him. I don't care if everybody thinks he's wrong. I'm still supporting him because he's my pastor. That's what we need to do. We need to support our pastor. Listen to this from the Jewish Encyclopedia. Caleb, whom they thought to be on their side, they were all talking against the Moses. They were all saying things about Moses. They were saying that Moses wasn't a very good leader. They were saying Moses led them into a bad situation. They had all these nasty things to say about Moses. They said Moses made the wrong decision. They said there's somebody surely better than Moses. We're 10. We'll form a new church. Hallelujah. And we'll lead everybody. We'll have our committee of 10. And we're going to lead everybody. We're going to take over. Moses he doesn't know what he's doing. But this is what Caleb said. This is not the only thing the son of Amram, speaking of Moses, has done for us. Here all the ringleaders were silent. They wanted to hear what Caleb had to say. These were the people who were trying to split the church. These were the people who were like, oh, well, we want things done our way. We don't like the pastor, so we're going to do things different. And this is what Caleb said. He has taken us out of Egypt. He has divided the sea for us. And he has fed us with manna. Now, therefore, if he were to command us to make ladders and scale the heavens, we should obey him. Hallelujah. You know what? We need to support our pastor. We need to say, I don't care. My pastor's the best. My pastor makes all the right decisions. Hallelujah. He's your pastor. Caleb spirit, one of perseverance, and he long suffering. He had, listen, in Joshua 14 and 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Hallelujah. You know, he had a promise. He says, Moses says, don't worry about it. You got a promise. Just wait. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Don't get too excited. Don't get worried about it. Hallelujah. It's a promise to you. It's been sworn to you. Hallelujah. It's going to be for you and your children. Hallelujah. Watch for us and our children, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us it is for the generation, for us and our children. That's our inheritance. Hallelujah. We just got to wait. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes, you know, I got the Holy Ghost quickly. I wasn't even expecting it. My wife, it took her a whole lot longer, 4 more months before she got it. And she was kind of upset because I got it before she did. And she said, I was the one praying for it. So you know what? It's going to come. It just takes a little longer. I know there are people in this church that have been here for 7 and 8 more years, 10 years or more. But you know what? They got the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Don't get discouraged. It's been a promise. It's a promise to you. Hallelujah. It's your promise. It's your inheritance. And another spirit of Caleb is one of strength through the Lord. Exodus 15 and 2 says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Now Joshua 14 and 10, and this is Caleb speaking, and he says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old he was. 45 when they started, he was 85 when he crossed into the, when Israel crossed into the promised land. Hallelujah. But he said, guess what? The Lord kept me going. He said, he kept me going. He said, he gave me a promise, and I might be 85 years old, but guess what? He kept me going till I made it in. Hallelujah. And his Caleb's spirit is a spirit of a warrior who never gives up, a spirit of commitment, a spirit of being committed, that never quits, that never stops, that keeps going no matter what happens, no matter how hard it gets. Joshua 14 and 11 says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go in and go out and to come in. He says, look, I'm just as strong today as I was. Hallelujah. He said, I didn't lose my faith. My faith didn't get weak. I didn't give up. I kept going. And I'm just as strong today as I ever was. Hallelujah. Don't give up. I don't care if you're 90 years old. If you can still praise the Lord, you stand up and you start praising him. I remember in the old church, there was a gentleman there. I don't know how old he was, but he was old. And he'd get up there and he'd walk kind of like this. But boy, he'd get up and he'd praise the Lord. And he'd be having hands up in the air, waving to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he said, I ain't quit. I'm just as strong as I was then, I'm now. Hallelujah. Caleb's spirit is the spirit of knowing that God's with us, all things are possible. Listen, Joshua 14 and 12. This is when Caleb got his reward. Hallelujah. This is when he got his reward that he'd been waiting for. Now therefore, give me this mountain where the Lord spake that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Remember, this man was 85 years old. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. Caleb says, I don't care. I got my promise. Hallelujah. It was promised to me, and I want it now. I don't care if I'm 85 years old. I want my promise. And God said, yeah, give him his promise. I promised it to him, and he has it. Hallelujah. Spirit of Caleb is one of the boldness in the Lord. Joshua 15 and 13 says, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua. Guess what? The Lord was in Caleb's corner. The Lord was saying, look, this is what I want for Caleb, because I took special notice of him. I got my eye on him. I'm watching over him. So I'm going to tell you what to do with him. He said, I told Moses, and I'm telling you, Joshua. Even the city of Arba, of Anak, which city is in Hebron. And Joshua 15 and 14, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. These were the tribes of giants that dwell in the land that terrified the other spies. Hallelujah. He still at 85 years old had the boldness to run them out of his life, to knock those spirits out of his life. Hallelujah. You know, the question I have today is, and we need to ask ourselves that question, do I have the spirit of Caleb? Do I have that spirit to fully follow the Lord? Am I obedient to Jesus Christ? Or do I have the spirit of the Israelite that is one of those murmuring and complaining, the spirit that's satisfied with what we had, not what we can have? The spirit that says, am I ready? Am I ready to enter the promised land? Or am I just religious? What spirit do we have today? Do we have that spirit? We need to have that spirit of following the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And let's just work on that Caleb spirit, okay? Because that's what's going to get us through. That'll get us through everything in the name of Jesus. We're going to take a little break and walk around and talk to everybody and